So this morning, I thought we would take a look and start off with buoyancy, balance, and breaking through. What is buoyancy, balance, and breaking through? I was trying to think of an image in my own mind of what was buoyancy, balance, and breaking through, and a surfer was the best one for me because Jesus walked on water. And for a person who could surf, I'm sure that being able to be buoyant in the water until you see the big wave coming, to having the balance of standing on the surfboard, and then to break through the tunnel, to break through the barrel, to go through this water and do this sort of thing. I don't even know how they got the picture. But for me, that was the kind of the image that came to mind, and sometimes I think in images. So I wanted to share this with you and have us understand buoyancy, balance, and breaking through. And I wanted to tell you a story. Story in my own life of when I experienced buoyancy, balance, and breaking through to help you understand what are we talking about. When I was in my 20s and full of male bravado, I decided a group of us from university were up camping at Bonnie Lake. Some of you may know where that is. We were up at Bonnie Lake camping, and there was a few of us guys that decided we could swim across the lake and back, about 2,000 feet across. And I had swam smaller bodies of water that I enjoyed doing, knew enough, probably not, hadn't perfected my swimming skills, but knew enough how to rest on the water. So I was confident of that. And as we talked about it, this group of about five guys, we were sure that we could swim across, no problem. We were sure we could swim there and back and do it in record time. And there were some members of the lovelier sex that were there as well, too, which we wanted to impress. Not just with our toned young bodies, but also our swimming skills. And so we decided this is what we're going to do. And the five of us dropped down to two when we really looked at the water and how cold it was. It was left to me and Warren. And Warren and I decided that we were going to swim there and back. And in my foolishness, I thought I could just do this alone. Which, of course, those of you that are safety conscious are probably thinking, what was he thinking? At least I had a buddy. And Warren and I began to swim. And we swam about two-thirds across that lake, and as I did, I realized that Warren hadn't kind of learned the skill of just lying on your back and floating and resting. As we got about 200 feet from the other shore, we started to share our concerns with each other about how we were feeling. So we swim close enough. And then it hit me. I knew from my swimming training that I could not rescue him and me if he panicked. You can't do that in the water. So about 200 feet away from the shore, I started to encourage him, and he encouraged me that it's just over there. That rock where we're going to go sit on is just there. Let's just keep swimming. It's probably a shallow lake anyways, and probably just a few feet. We can put our feet down and touch the bottom anyways. We can stay above water. We can rest. We can make it. And we encouraged each other. And we got to the other side exhausted. We sat upon the rock on the other side, tired, far enough from the ladies on the other side so that we weren't concerned about how exhausted we looked to them. And we sat there, and we wondered how long it would take before we were rested enough to go back. And either Warren or I, I'm not sure which, said, hey, let's walk the lake. The lake was probably four times as far around than it was across, and we stepped a few steps into the forest and realized on pine needles we would take a long time and a lot of pain to make it. Quickest route was right back across. So we sat there for about an hour on the rock, perched on the rock trying to decide what was next. And we rested enough, we realized, well, it's the best way across, let's encourage each other to do it. Got back into the water, started swimming, felt pretty good, got about halfway across, started to feel those same thoughts of, I don't know whether I'm going to make it. Each of us pausing at moments to tread water and the other one having to stay behind also to tread water so we could make it. We realized about halfway across that we needed something other than our own strength to make it across. And I confess that it wasn't God I was thinking about. We needed an extra reserve or something or a will to get back across. And halfway across, we decided we were going to make it. We were going to break through. We were going to swim as hard as we could because we weren't going to die in Bonnie Lake in front of these beautiful women. That wasn't cool. So we slowed down, we rested more, we stretched as much as we could in the water more to avoid cramps. I wish I had taken two more levels of swimming, but I didn't. George is a lifeguard, by the way. And as I swam, or I wish I had you beside me, as I swam across, I thought, man, we should have had someone in a boat beside us. Foolish, right? We swam and we swam. And both he and I, and if Warren was telling the story, he'd probably tell about me, but I'm telling it about him. Both of us panicked that we would lose the other one. We swam hard. Warren and I both made it back. And with the remaining energy in our bodies, we said, no problem. I think we sufficiently impressed the girls that were there, one that's here today. So we swam across and we made it. In life, you have your buoyancy that you need. From the moment you were born, you understood buoyancy, and that was, I need to eat, I need to drink, I need to sleep. That's buoyancy. What is buoyancy? Keeping your head above water so you continue to live. Some days I know you felt, perhaps it's today, you feel under the water. And you feel like you're doing everything you can to get back up above the water just to breathe. Some of you feel like today you've been treading water and you're tired. Some of you feel like, hey, I'm swimming, no problem. Some of you feel like you're walking on water today. There's a buoyancy in life. Reality is that God has determined how long you're going to swim for. You just determine what your attitude is towards life. There's buoyancy in our life, but there's also balance. Balance is that dynamic that you can swim through life, but you have to know the balance of when you need to rest, when you need to swim hard, when you need to pray, when you need to swim with the body. There's a balance in life that we have, that we try to balance it off. If I spoke to you every day for the next week, that would be out of balance because you'd be saying, I'm getting all this knowledge from the Bible, but I'm not applying it. There's balance in life that we have that we'll talk about, and breaking through. Of course, in our lives, all of you have experienced, if you've lived any length of time at all, that there's times when you break through. Think about it. You walked. You remember that one thinking, I'll never walk? You walked. Got out of diapers. Started school. Young parents, remember when your children were 4.5, almost 5, starting school, and that look in their eyes, I'll never make this. I'll never survive. I remember when one of our sons was looking at school and he'd come home and say, okay, I'm done. No, this is Tuesday. You got the rest. I'm done. I've had enough. Grade 2 or 3, now it's like, hey, I can do this. No problem. High school comes. Then you say, what's next? I don't know. Is there a place for me? I remember thinking one day, how possibly can I ever have a job where I can make $45,000? I don't know how I could do that. I don't know how I have that within me. I broke through. There's breakthroughs that we have in life. God gives us breakthroughs. The frustrating things is that we don't control those breakthroughs. Well, we have influence over them, but we don't control them. So we're going to take a look at these three things. And I wanted to take us through one character study every week. But first, just let me share some things from the Bible that demonstrate this buoyancy, balance, and breaking through. In terms of buoyancy, this swimming through life, in the water of life, Paul says this, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed but not in despair. We're persecuted but not abandoned. We're struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not which is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's Paul swimming. That's balance in life. That's balance in your Christian walk. At times, of course, we experience a demand for balance. We experience imbalance. We experience stress, and we get the opportunity to rest. Paul says in Philippians to the Philippian believers, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen, put into practice. I know what it's like to be in need, and I know what it's like to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do this through him who gives me strength. Sometimes we take that verse and we say, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's saying being content in all situations, that's what you can do with God's strength. Are you content where you are? That's what Paul says you can do. You can do in Christ regardless of what's happening in life, you can be content. That's balance. Let me carry on though and talk about breaking through. Breaking through, we all know at times that we have to, we want to, we desire to break through in our lives. And Paul says in Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. What's he talking about? I'm surprised sometimes that I'm alive. As a Christian, I think the forces of darkness should actually have destroyed me, but I'm still living. Why is that? Because I can break through with the prayers of my life that God will be with me and bring his will about in me because I have that power. It's not mine. It's from Jesus. We can break through. But let's take a look at a character study. In the next couple weeks, we're going to look at Miriam and Mary and Caleb and Peter. On the bulletins this week, another thing that we've changed here for this first part of the year is in the bulletin on the back side of the bulletin below the prayer items, it says next week we're looking at Exodus 2:2-10 and the rest of the scriptures there. If you want to look at Miriam's balance and buoyancy and breaking through, it's in those passages, so you can read next week. I appreciate when you look at that. We're going to take a look, though, at another brief character study. It's found in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles is a tough book to read. I encourage those of you that are reading through a book this year, or reading through the New Testament this year, or through the Bible this year, don't start with 1 Chronicles. Don't start with Numbers. Don't start with Lamentations. Read a few books first to build yourself up for being ready to read 1 Chronicles. Why is that? This is the name of 1 Chronicles in Hebrews. The matters of the days. If you saw that listed at a bookstore, would you pick up that book? The Matters of the Days. In Greek, this is the name of 1 Chronicles. Things left out. You see, even the ancient scholars didn't think these were the books that were the first things to read. Things left out. So 1 Chronicles, if you have your Bibles with you, if you'll turn to 1 Chronicles 4. 1 Chronicles 4 has an interesting passage in it. Anybody want to read this for me? I'm kidding. 1 Chronicles 4, it lists descendants. I don't know, maybe 150 people. I didn't even count them. It lists 150 people and just lists them out. Let me just briefly say, the first four words, it's saying these are the descendants of Judah. That's important because Judah is an important son of Jacob, of Israel. He's one of the tribes of Israel. And here they're listing in the tribe of Israel who is part of Judah's clan. Partly because they wanted to determine who were the priests of ancient Israel and who weren't. So it lists all these genealogies. What I find interesting about this list, if you go four lines down, it names the clans of the Zorathites. These were the sons of Etam, Jezreel, Ishma, and Abdash. And it says their sister was Hazel Elaponi. If you're looking for baby names and you want a nice girl's name, don't pick Hazel Elaponi. Or shorten it to Hazel. It's fine. Or Pony. I'm not sure. But it's interesting because she's mentioned in the Bible. The sister. I think she's a remarkable woman with a very interesting name. She's listed amongst all these men. Here's Hazel Elaponi. Continues, and it says this was the firstborn of Ephrathah, who's the father of Bethlehem. So we know that this person is the person who actually settled in the area of Bethlehem and built the town where Jesus is born. It lists all these names, but you'd have to, or I as your pastor, have to confess that I find this boring. It's a hard passage to read. I'm not going to read it for you this morning. But in the middle of this text, in this hard text that we sometimes can say to God, why'd you put it in there? What's the point? I did that once to God. I said, God, I think there's part of your scripture that doesn't have any valid usage for me. And I looked at one of the genealogies, read through it, and I said, okay, Holy Spirit, tell me what the point of this is. It was amazing. Because God said this to me, tell me your heritage. Well, I know my dad's name. I know my grandfather's name. Jesus' genealogy goes back to Adam. It's profound, and I learned from that lesson that not to say that sort of thing to God, but also that every part of God's word, as God's inspired word of God, has some point. I'm just not mature enough to know what the point is here. Right in the middle of this text, it introduces a person. It introduces a person who's not actually listed in this genealogies. That's fascinating. It lists all these people, and it doesn't mention his name until it lists his story. And it says this, please read this with me. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. The name Jabez in Hebrew is the same name for pain. His mom named him Pain. Maybe her name was Hazel Alponi. She named him Pain. But do you see in this account where Jabez had buoyancy and balance and breaking through? You see, when you look at the life of Jabez, at least when I look at it, and let me just pause for a moment for a brief commercial. The Prayer of Jabez is a book that was written by Bruce Wilkinson. Some of you own this book. It might be in our library, I'm not sure. I'm mystified by how Bruce Wilkinson can take these brief verses and write 2, 3, 4 books on it. It's amazing creativity. But this is a book called Beyond Jabez. It talks about buoyancy, balance, and breaking through. I will lend this to anybody that wants to read it from my library. And understanding the concept of these three things. Jabez is one of those people in Scripture that does this. How do we see buoyancy in his life? Well, we see that he's more honorable than his brothers. Statement of fact. He's more honorable than his brothers, but he experiences pain. What drags him down, what holds him down is his family heritage, which is not happy. His name is Pain. He has something weighing him down, but also something holding him up. That's buoyancy. And as he's swimming through his life, it says he's more honorable than his brothers. Even though he's experiencing pain, he prays that he'll be free from pain. How do we see balance in his life? Well, he cries out to God. He cries out to God and prays that God would help him, that he would bless him, that he would keep him from pain. That his hand will be with him. In my life, I know balance is when I feel God's hand upon me, guiding me, the practical realities of living life. And how does Jabez break through? Well, he prays, bless me, enlarge my territory, which think of it, in ancient Israel, it was more of a socialist kind of dynamic. The land was given to your peoples, and you had that land, and every 50 years you got it back. Jabez here is asking for something that's out of the norm. He asks for more land. He asks for more land and he says, I pray that you'll bless me. His first focus is God. His second focus is, please enlarge my territory. Help me to be more successful with your hand upon me, that your hand is with me and keep me from pain. And what? Let's read together. What are the last 5 things this passage says? And God granted his request. God wants you to have buoyancy. God wants you to balance, and he wants you to break through. Whatever wall you're facing, God wants to break through it, go over top of it, go around it, because time keeps going on. Maybe learn to live with it. But breaking through is part of our reality. And don't you feel that in terms of the buoyancy you have in life, that you're made more buoyant by the Spirit of God? Wouldn't you say that the balance that you have in life, when you're at your best, at least I've found when I'm at my best, and seeking God's will, he does direct me about how to keep a balance in life. And he does say, Ken, we can break through. And ultimately, Ken, you and I are going to break through that thing called death that you're a little apprehensive of. And when you break through, then you'll really see the power, that I have to redeem you and save you. I encourage you to pray like Jabez, with your heart, with authenticity. Pray that God would keep you from causing pain to others. Pray that God would bless you and enlarge your area of influence with his love.